You may have noticed of late a move by fast food restaurants and big food companies to change the formulas of their products to include healthier ingredients. Vani Hari, also known as the Food Babe, feels particularly responsible for some of that. In 2011, she started a blog to investigate what's in ubiquitous items. The latest is an ingredients list of Starbucks drinks. She's the author of The Food Babe Way and refers to her followers as the Food Babe Army. Vani Hari is in Hawaii this week to talk about the ethics of eating, and she's on the phone with us now. Good morning.
Hello, good morning. So excited to be here in Hawaii. It is my first time here, and it is, wow, amazing.
Well, aloha, and I hope you enjoy your trip. So how is it that you got into becoming the Food Babe from what you say on your blog was a very unhealthy person?
So, you know, I grew up on the standard American diet. I had two immigrant parents from India who came here not knowing a lot about the American food system, but themselves growing up on plant-based foods, grown in their garden, milk from their one cow that they shared in the village. And when they got here to the United States, my dad really wanted to adopt the American culture. And actually the first thing he did after he had an arranged marriage with my mother and they came here for their honeymoon, which they ended up living for the rest of their lives in the 60s, was to introduce my mom to a hamburger because he said, you know, if we're going to be in America, we're going to live like Americans. And growing up in Charlotte, North Carolina, being one of the only Indian children around in my neighborhood and in my school system, you know, I really wanted to fit in as well. And so I kind of shunned the cooking my mom did at home for, like, you know, the traditional Indian cooking that was full of really healthy ingredients and opted for the fast food. And my parents actually didn't mind feeding that to me because they thought it was cheap and available and everybody else was eating it. And as a result, I had a lot of health issues as a child. I had eczema all over my face, in every crease of my body. Asthma, you know, to the point where I would have to have multiple doctor's visits throughout every single year, either to be on antibiotics or steroids or to take a cortisone shot to control these skin and lung issues, as well as really severe allergies. And my brother also had these issues too. So my parents, like any good parents, thought this was genetic and that the only way to solve this is to really go to the doctor and take these drugs.
But so when did you decide then to make a shift to change your diet? And did your brother also make that shift?
Well, he was a little bit more reluctant, but I actually had a crisis in my early 20s where I was working a very stressful job, working for a Big Six consulting firm, and I kind of hit rock bottom in my health. I was overweight, very sick. I was in the hospital getting my appendix out and just kind of was fed up with the way that I was feeling and looking and really wanted to change my life. And so I made a commitment to myself and said, you know, I'm going to make health my number one priority. I'm going to figure out how to feel better. And through my discovery and through my research that I used some skills that I learned in high school where I was a nationally ranked debater, where you actually went to libraries and looked through microfiche and journals and things like that back then. We didn't have Google. I used those skills to research health and nutrition and started to go to the library and check out giant books on nutrition and start to teach myself what I was eating. And what I found out was actually that the majority of food that I'd been eating had been chemically altered to improve the bottom line of the food industry and not actually put nutrition in my body. And so when I started to make the changes to real, whole, plant-based foods, my body did a 180. Not only did I drop all the weight, but I started to realize a health I never thought was possible. Every single prescription drug I was on several, 6 to 8, depending upon the season, I completely got off of.
So you've had some great...
People around me.
Vani, excuse me, but we don't have a whole lot of time. We want to be able to talk to you about a number of things. But so you were able to take control of your own health. And in starting the blog, your intent was to help other people do that too. Some may ask, well, you know, you had particularly good results with your own life, but how do you feel that you've got enough, you know, cred to be able to help people to take on the same issues with their own lives?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, it was over a 10-year journey that led me to this information that I felt comfortable to actually start a blog. You know, before I even started the blog, I was never even actually on social media or anything because you just didn't do that working in the corporate world. And it was the testimony between the people working around me in the office environment that started following some of the principles that I was following, and the testimony of friends around me who started eating the way I did and started to pay attention and started to learn from me, that really gave me the confidence to start the blog, because they said, Bonnie, my life is changing. I feel so much better. You need to share this information with other people. You need to share your recipes, your tips, what you're learning about the food industry, so that other people can also learn from that. And at first, you know, when I started the blog, it was me, my mom, and my few friends that were reading. And I never, ever thought what has happened now could ever be possible with millions of readers across the globe.
So I have to ask you, how exactly do you eat? Are you vegetarian? Do you eat any meat at all?
Actually, I do not label myself. I don't believe in labeling because I love to travel and I love to learn from other cultures. And there are nutritious qualities in all real food. So I am a real foodist, if I have to qualify myself.
I get you. So a question for you, though. In talking about something that's pretty serious and certainly was very serious in your life, I got to ask you, why call yourself the Food Babe and talk about the Food Babe Army? Doesn't that sort of undercut the seriousness of all this?
Well, actually, you know, when I started the blog, I didn't think I was going to become an activist. I really wanted a fun name for the blog so that people felt approachable. I also, like, wanted to call the blog EatHealthyLiveForever.com, and my husband, who's a tech geek in the family, thought it was a stupid name and no one would remember it. He actually came up with the name Food Babe, and at first, I was very reluctant to use that name because I never felt like a babe for most of my life. I was didn't feel pretty or anything like that. And so I said, well, why don't I teach other people how to become a food babe? And that should be the mission. And I actually didn't even put my photo on the header for the first year and a half of the blog because that wasn't the mission, was to showcase me as the food babe. But once I quit my corporate job, I felt like people needed to know who I was, and that's when I started to showcase myself as the food babe. But
Vonnie, we need to go in just a second, but I wanted to ask you just about this in parting, that in trying to help the food industry reshape itself so that it's much more transparent, people know what's in their food, they can make some choices. We've seen some, you know, real shifts, even, you know, McDonald's changing its McNuggets, and everybody remembers the whole, you know, pink slime issue of a few years ago. What do you think is next that has to happen so that people feel that they have some control in knowing what they're eating?
You know, we have seen a gigantic revolution and the reduction of many additives in our food, everything from artificial food dyes that are linked to hyperactivity in children to other types of dyes like caramel coloring that's linked to cancer, as well as other preservatives that are linked to endocrine disrupting chemicals. And that is going to be fantastic. What we have to do now is start to reduce the chemical load on our food environment, because it's in our water, it's in our food, it's in our bodies. And if we are really going to try to halt the increase in disease, we have to reduce that chemical load. So it's my mission now to really educate people about the chemical loads that they are consuming and being part of, and their choices every single day of what they eat can reduce that chemical load and can reduce their chances of getting some of these diseases and really, you know, improve their outcome in life and feel healthy and feel alive and feel energy. And that's really the goal here with the work that I'm doing, and exposing the fact that industry is working with, you know, quote unquote university or independent professors to really get this information out and really confuse the public about what's happening in the chemical industry.
Vonnie Hari, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We got to go.
Thanks.
Vonnie Hari is a food activist, the creator of foodbabe.com, and the author of The Food Babe Way. She's influenced how food giants like Kraft, Subway, Chipotle, Chick-fil-A and Starbucks create their products. She was also named one of the most influential people on the Internet by Time magazine. She'll be the keynote speaker at a panel discussion on the ethics of eating at UH Manoa tomorrow night at 6:30.